Hey friends, welcome back to another episode of Christ in Me with Addie, where we seek to live out a John 3:30 life. John 3:30 says, "He must become greater and greater and I less and less." Let's be real, in today's world, it can seem impossible to live out what the Bible calls us to do. Not only can it be hard to understand sometimes, but finding the time to read the Bible, to understand the Bible, to know the Bible, it can just be overwhelming. So I created this podcast so we could walk alongside each other, share some of our stories and struggles, but also where the Lord is bringing us, so that we can encourage one another and stay rooted in His Word. It's my prayer that you walk away from each episode saying, "I know that that is Christ in me. I know Christ in me." So let's get into today's topic. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Christ in Me with Addie. This is a conversation I have been so excited for so long because today I have Tara Sun on the podcast. Say hey, Tara.
Hey guys, thank you so much for having me. Addie, you are such a ray of sunshine and this is going to be so fun. So I'm so glad to be here.
Dude, that's how I feel about you. I just feel like you are, you know, the Bible says to focus on things that are lovely and pure. And I just feel like that is like the embodiment of you and who you are and the way you speak.
You're
and just
so like kind. The
way you carry yourself. So it feels like we are friends from afar, truly.
Oh, yes. Yes.
But Tara's awesome. She is a podcast host herself, which I'll have her share with you in just a little bit. She's also an author. She's a mom. And she's just like a mom in ministry, which just blows my mind because I couldn't imagine doing all of this and having, you know, a little one to look after. So Tara, why don't you just take a second to kind of share who you are, a little bit about your ministry and what you do?
Yeah. So like Addie said, my name is Tara and I live in Oregon with my husband. We're high school sweethearts. I love saying that. It's always so special to me. We've been together for like 8 years now.
Oh my gosh.
Married for over three and we have a little toddler named Hunter. So just a very full family life. Seriously, parents are like our favorite titles ever. We have so much fun with him. He is a blast. Besides that, I get to have the privilege of, like Addie said, hosting a podcast. It's called Truth Talks with Tara every single Tuesday. And really, it's just born out of a mission of helping women really do three things, and that's know God's word, love God's word, and live God's word. Because I really believe it's kind of that domino effect. When you know, you love. When you love, you actually want to like take action and live out your faith. So you do that through the podcast every single week. It's just a lot of fun with friends and guests and also by myself. And then over a year ago, I released my first book called Surrender Your Story. And the subtitle is Ditch the Myth of Control and Discover Freedom in Trusting God. And it's not only just my testimony, but it's ultimately just a guide back to God's heart for what it looks like for us to be disciples of Him and how so many of us have such a hard time trusting God with the twists and turns of our story. Mm-hmm. But when we do surrender, it's not what the world says. And it's not what the world says. It's so, you know, restricting or horrible. It's actually so life-giving. So I wrote that and hang out on Instagram and all the things, but we have a very full life and I'm not trying to say busy these days. I'm just trying to say full.
Yeah, you really have your hands in so many different things, but it's amazing to witness. And I've also read your book and part of my new job, which I know I've explained to you a little bit, you know, in the pre-show, but I just accepted a new job in ministry. And part of what I do is write curriculum for our circles, which are our small groups.
Awesome.
And I added your book to the curriculum list because I think
it's such
an amazing book. So guys, I'm going to put it below in the show notes for anyone who hasn't read it yet. It's just, it's like something that will enrich your faith no matter what stage of life you're in. But I want to hear about kind of your upbringing, Tara, and if your parents were Christian or how did you come to find faith and make it your own?
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, that is like the greatest news. And just, I'm so humbled that you would, you know, endorse it in that way. Like all the glory to God. Like it's something that you see all this stuff happen and you're like, clearly only the Lord. Like I can try and strive and do all the things, but it's ultimately Him. So thank you. That was so encouraging. So my upbringing, I was adopted when I was 6 months old from South Korea. But I mean, that's a huge part of my story. But because I was so young, my brother and I were both adopted. I don't remember anything else but this life. But you know, which is great and it's such a blessing. And my brother and I were both adopted into this incredible home with these two parents who loved Jesus and wholeheartedly wanted a family that honored the Lord, and they have this gaping hole wanting to have a family and have just really grown up in the church. My parents have been, you know, leading middle school ministries on Sundays and Wednesdays for like almost all their marriage, which has been like 30 years, and just have been very fortunate to be raised in that. But I feel like in a lot of ways, I don't know if you can relate, Addie, or maybe our listeners can relate, that in a lot of ways, that consistency of having such a foundation, I personally at times took that for granted. Like, I kind of just thought like, oh, well, my faith can be my parents, or I can just ride on their coattails, or, you know, I'll go to church and Awana groups and that makes me a good Christian without like really putting in the work, right? Like it was very much like I was coasting for a while. But nonetheless, so grateful for the way I was raised, but I have seen how, and when I've talked to some other kids who have grown up knowing the Lord since like the moment they could remember it, you know, that has been something that they have wrestled with too. But ultimately, I think it just led me to really make my faith my own as I got older, which is ultimately the best thing. So,
yeah, I mean, there comes a moment in every single person's life when they have to ask themselves, do I believe in God or not? And if I do, what do I believe? And so that's part of why I wanted to bring you on today, because I think once you accept Jesus, that's like, you know, we know step one of a whole new life. And then all these other questions start popping up. And so I want to talk about a pretty big question that I know has surfaced on both your social accounts and mine. Yes. And the topic today, everybody, is whether or not women should wear pants to church, or if Christian women are allowed to wear pants. I've heard it phrased even that way. So we're going to talk about just kind of what the Bible has to say about how we should dress, but I wanted to talk about your viral video, because I came across it when it happened to you, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it was April of last year, maybe?
So it was actually right before or right around my book launch, so over a year ago, because we're recording this in April. So about over a year ago.
Why don't you share with us a little bit about what the video was, and then what the response was to the video?
Yes, you guys, this is just wild to me. And when Addie was like, hey, let's talk about it, I'm like, yes, because I've talked about it on my podcast before, but I feel like there's still so much conversation surrounding this to really get to the heart of it. So I'm so excited. But what happened was, I thought it would be really fun. I have a background in working for a couple like fashion retailers, like Nordstrom and Anthropologie. I've always loved beauty and fashion and all the things. And so when I started my Instagram, it was obviously mainly about teaching other people about the word and about the Lord. But I'm also like, you know, I also love these things about my personality and about being a woman and just all the feminine things. And so I'm like, hey, why don't we do like a church outfit series on Instagram Reels? And I'm not the first originator of that. It was just something that I had seen. I'm like, this would be super fun. I'm getting dressed every Sunday anyway, and maybe it'll give people inspiration, because there are a lot of people who do not know what to wear to church or feel like they like can't show up a certain way, right? So one of the first outfits, this actually might've been the first one, I think, in the series. It may have been the first one in the series.
Off to a good start.
I guess. Yeah, actually, I have to double check, but I think it was the first one where it was like church outfit, you know, part one. And I wore this long sleeve, modest bodysuit with like, you know, scoop top, but it wasn't like very revealing at all. So it's just the long sleeve bodysuit covering all the things. And then I have the Free People Ziggy overalls, which are super cute. They're very relaxed. They're not like, I mean, I personally don't think they look like a farmer. Like they're stylish and cute. They could go any kind of vibe, right? So I put those on, and then I put like a green shacket over top, because it was a cold spring day here in Oregon, as it normally is. And then I put some cute boots on. So it was just kind of like this really cute in between transition season outfit. And I posted it, and I posted it right before we went to church. And then, you know, we were in church for 2 hours, and then came out and was looking at my phone, and it had within 2 hours gotten like 50,000 views. And I'm like,
oh my gosh.
Okay. So I'm like, how did this happen? Right. And then I started looking through comments, and a lot of them were my amazing friends and followers saying, you know, like, oh, I love this. So cute. But I was noticing as it kept going, because the numbers and views just kept increasing, Addie, just like crazy. I was just watching it all day. And it didn't even stop there. It just kept going for like weeks and weeks. The comments started to be mainly from people. There was a handful of people who followed me who disagreed, but it was mainly people who found me on an Explore feed or something because it went viral. Just mentioning, hey, like women are not supposed to wear pants. As a Christian woman, you should know better. Mm-hmm. They were saying things like, you know, we should be modest and that's what men wear and not what women wear. Mm-hmm. There were some people that said, would you show up to meet the president or the Pope like that? like you need to honor the Lord. Like when you go to God's house, you need to wear something that honors him and pants do not honor him. Some people were calling me like Farmer Joe, which I thought was just really funny. that one didn't offend me, but like, I gotta be honest, like it really fired me up because I just realized, and you'll see where I land on this even from what I'm saying now, is I just realized how legalistic all of that was.
Yeah.
And there was even just a lot of people, some other comments from people like maybe of the apostolic or more conservative faith where they were saying like, you know, I don't personally wear pants because, you know, this is what I believe, but, you know, don't berate this woman for wearing them to church. Right. So there were a big array of comments, but the main voices, and I still have it up on my Instagram, you guys, you can go check it out. Like there are so, or maybe not if it's going to fire you up, but there are just so many comments there still. I've actually deleted a lot, but there are just so many I could not keep track of and stay on top of people saying that I was just like this heathen for wearing pants to church. And now it has almost 1 million views and I just don't know how that happened. And that really started kind of this re-study because, you know, I've known God in the Word, but it really started the study again of what God says about it because there was a moment where I'm like, well, are they right? Like, I'm like, am I leading people astray? Like, am I not being a good example? And I know we're going to talk about this later, you know, a specific verse in the Old Testament that many people weaponized in the comments. But I studied that and I realized that, you know what, Lord, I feel from what we've interpreted in your Word that this is okay for me. And if other people don't want to do this preferentially, if it's a conviction of their hearts, all the power to them. It was just so wild though. So wild.
I hate to admit it, but I've had a few posts achieve like a few million views as well. And the reason that they get there is because people are arguing in the comments.
Yes.
And that's the part about sharing God online that I probably like the least. But at the same time, I tell myself, if someone doesn't believe in God and they just commented like, God's not real on this, at least they heard God's name today. But what gets me the most, which it feels like this was the case for you too, is when Christians are arguing with each other in the comments. And I know that we all have different faith backgrounds. We've settled into different denominations. And
you
know, Paul spoke so much about divisive things in the church and, you know, keeping unity in the church. And so I think you handled it with such grace. I think you handled it, you know, it speaks to your heart that you turned introspectively and said, Lord, is this something about me that you're trying to correct me on? And you took it back to the Bible and you decided to study it for yourself and not give in to pressure, which I think is amazing. But that just shows your heart and who you are. So I'd love to read that verse that you kind of started at, which is Deuteronomy 22:5. Do you have it pulled up? You could read it.
I do. Yeah, I do have it pulled up because I'm like, hey, I'm all ready for this. Yeah.
Yes, I love
Deuteronomy 22:5 out of the ESV. It says, a woman shall not wear a man's garment, nor shall a man put on a woman's cloak. For whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord your God. So this was commented in the comments by Christians and non-Christians, people who followed me and people who did not follow me, over and over again in the comment section. And I, you know, it had been a long time since I had read this passage. And so it really stirred me to go read it myself and study it. And you guys can do your own study on this. But when you look at the whole context, so if we look at Deuteronomy, this is a whole book of Moses just reiterating what he had said to the first generation Israelites that came out of Egypt. So basically, at the beginning of Deuteronomy, he says, you know, these your forefathers knew this, but I want to renew this covenant. God wants me to renew this with you and remind you. Like, of course he would want to do this because it's a new generation of Israelites. It would be like, maybe our grandparents or our parents coming out of Egypt, but then us or our kids needing a refresher. I mean, like, I just feel like that's natural and normal. And so Moses is laying out some of these things and also some newer things and just explaining them to a deeper degree. And if you're reading this, like, I just love the ESV study Bible. I love some of these study Bibles. This chapter is just various laws. So if you read this, it's just like sentence after sentence of random laws that maybe not might not be interconnected, but it's still from the heart of God, what he was calling his people to do. And when you look at the context of this chapter and the words, and you can do a whole word study. I would encourage you to do a whole word study on this. There's so many incredible resources online to get you started. But if we're looking at this, when Moses is saying that a woman shall not wear a man's garment, vice versa, he's talking about like being a transvestite. He's talking about someone cross-dressing. He's talking about a man and a woman staying in their God-given lanes and identities genetically that God had placed them in. He wasn't saying like, you know, women, you should never be able to wear it, but he was saying that like, you need to hold your identity. And one of the greatest ways, at least in that culture, was they had very, very, very specific clothing. And that was how they remained set apart as well. Not the only way they remained set apart, but that was a really big way. And so I think there's this big argument all the time too. I got to tell you, Addie, friends listening, like there were so many moments that my husband was like, I am taking your phone away, because I did get angry because it felt personal. I'm just going to be super honest. But there were a few that I commented back on, and I took my time because I'm like, I want to share at least a few comments, but then I'm like, I can't do anymore because there's just thousands. But one of the things I said was I shared this verse in the context of that, and someone replied and said, ugh, Christians are just weaponizing cultural context. And they just were basically saying that we pick and choose what we want to be culturally contextual or not in our lives. Yeah. But here's the thing, is that this remains true. This truth about dressing and honoring your God-given gender is true, will forever be true. It was true in Deuteronomy. It's true for us today. It'll be true for eternity. But we have to look at the fact that they wore very different clothes and they had very different lifestyles than we do now. And so I don't really know how the shift came to be that women started wearing pants and moved away from women's garments and dresses and long robes and all the things. But this really puts to death the idea that women can't wear pants, because that was the biggest scripture weaponized in that conversation. Yeah. They're saying, oh, that's what they said there. It's like, no. It's about identity. And now if you as a woman feel confident and feminine and you are fully embodying the female gender that God gave you and your beautiful identity while wearing pants or even wearing overalls or a jumpsuit or something like that, you can have full confidence that you are doing that in the spirit and honoring him. But I would say if you're wearing pants to try to be like a man when God has made you a woman, that's where that issue lies. That's why Moses said that, you know?
Yeah. And I couldn't have said it better myself. That was so good. But, you know, I want to take the word like pants out of this for a moment and change it to something that someone on Instagram asked me once. Yeah. She messaged me and she was like, hey, so I wore red lipstick to church and I had someone tell me that that was incredibly inappropriate and that I shouldn't wear red lipstick ever again. And she was like, are they right? Like, was I wrong? She was like, I wore, it was Christmas. So I want to be sure to state that, you know? So like a lot of people wear red during Christmas. She had on like a little red plaid, like dress, very modest, but she put on matching red lipstick with her little slick back bun. You know, I was like,
I love it, girl. Yes. I love it.
And I asked her, I was like, did you wear red lipstick because you wanted to, because the person who approached her told her that she was being seductive, that it was something that maybe like working women would wear and that it wasn't appropriate for church. And so she said, was I in the wrong? And so I asked her, I said, you know, did you wear red lipstick because you were trying to be seductive, or did you wear red lipstick because you thought it looked cute with your outfit? It's Christmas time and red is everywhere. And she said, well, of course I wore it because, you know, it's Christmas time. And so I think, Tara, back to what you said, but also the context of that red lipstick story is it's about your heart. Like, are you wearing pants because you are physically trying to take on the appearance of a man? Or are you wearing pants because culturally we've just moved into a place where like jeans are now like widely accepted in church?
Yes.
Whereas when I was a kid, it really wasn't. Like if you wore jeans to church, you were slacking.
Yes. same.
I also grew up Catholic, so it was much more culturally appropriate just to wear a skirt or a dress as a woman.
Right.
I really think it comes down to matters of the heart and like, why are you wearing what you are? I know this was released a long time ago when you covered this topic on your podcast, but I think you also talked about this specific website, but a website that I love, if you have any questions about the Bible, is gotquestions.org. Are you familiar awesome. With them, Tara? Yeah.
Yes. I love them so much. I think when I first did a Google search for something like years and years ago, mm-hmm. I found their website and I'm like, this name sounds funny, right? But they are so biblically accurate. Yes. They're pulling in scriptures from old and new to back it up. They're doing mm-hmm. word studies. They're telling you literary context, historical context, cultural context. You guys, it's so good. Mm-hmm. And I remember researching a lot, even on their website, about this whole idea. And it really helped me understand this. And just a lot of let's be honest, Deuteronomy, Exodus, Ezekiel, Leviticus, all those can be very confusing to yeah. us. So to have a resource like that and an incredible study Bible even is so, so helpful. Yes. Addie, I love that you were saying too about matters of the heart. And I wanted to mention something too, because that was another conversation that we were having in the comments and some people were having in the comments of this reel where it's like, well, I'm sure Tara's heart was good in it, right? And then some people would clap back and say, that's just an excuse that people use to wear whatever they want. And while I am sure there are plenty of people, and honestly, maybe I'm just gotta be honest, I'm sure there are times in my life where maybe I wore something that I didn't feel was maybe the best, but I tried to write it off like, well, my heart's good, right?
Yeah.
So there may be people who weaponize that, but ultimately we know through scripture that our heart will be seen through our fruit. Mm-hmm. And for someone to come up to your beautiful friend and follower and say that she was acting seductively or mm-hmm. acting impure because she was wearing red lipstick is legalistic. And it's yeah. not a good judge of her heart, because if someone would have asked her, or if you would have really sat down and had a conversation with her, she would have been able to say I just love fashion, or it's yeah. Christmas and red lipstick is fine. And maybe it, mm-hmm. Maybe it's perfectly fine for her, maybe not perfectly fine for that person.
Yeah.
But that's just another thing that I think really grieves my heart, is that mm-hmm. so many of us, and I know I've done it myself too, but so many of us, especially Christians, take our preferences, mm-hmm. meaning the things that we just are particular about, right? It's not even necessarily scriptural sometimes. It can be, but it's not always. We take those preferences and we put them on other people.
Yeah.
So, that red lipstick thing, right? So maybe that man or woman didn't personally like red lipstick, or they personally thought it was seductive, or maybe they associate it with a bad movie they watched or something, but then they put that preference on someone else and they immediately assert a judgment on that person for a preference.
Right.
And I want to share, I want to share a book. It's called Fix Your Eyes by Amy Gannett. She is one of my favorite friends on Instagram, and she's gone to seminary. She's incredible. Her and her husband lead a church in North Carolina, and they're just so solid. She wrote a book, Fix Your Eyes, about just basically the differences between doctrinal, core statement values mm-hmm. of the church, and then convictions, and then preferences.
Yeah.
And so it just breaks down the differences between that. And friends, I would encourage you to look into that for yourself, mm-hmm. because there's so many times that we take what is a preference or a conviction.
Yeah.
Say I'm a mom who says, I have a conviction to homeschool my kids. But mm-hmm. then what if I tell my friend that she has to as well, but she doesn't have that same conviction from the Spirit, right? So there's a big difference there. And I think a lot of that was coming out in my comments too, where a lot of people were convicted and preferred to wear dresses to church, but they were asserting theirs onto me, which yeah. if they would look at my other life, if they would know my real life, I wear skirts and dresses to church 70% of the time, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's so good. And I'm going to check out that resource. I'll also link yeah. that one in the show notes for anybody who's interested, because I'm so definitely good. Interested. But yeah. I think what you're talking about is just conviction versus condemnation, right?
And yes, yes.
too often we allow our own personal convictions to manifest as frustration within us. And then unfortunately, we express that frustration and press it upon others. And so I don't know if any of you who are listening have ever felt that way, but I think there's the primary theological things that we're all set on as Christians. And I know I've talked about this on the show before, Jesus died for our sins and he rose yeah. on the third day, or that, we must repent for our sins to receive his forgiveness. Those are all what I would call primary theological things. But yeah. then there's the secondaries. It's major on the majors and minor
yep.
on the majors. And the secondaries are things like, should I wear pants? Should I wear red lipstick? Should I, there's all different things that we can have varying secondary opinions on. But yeah. I think as long as we're, again, I'm going to quote Paul, he said to keep unity in the church. And something mm-hmm. else that he said is to test everything and yep. hold on to what is good. And I yeah. think too often we're testing one another instead of testing the fruit of one another's lives. And we forget to hold on to what is good. too often.
That's so good. I was thinking, my mom always joked that this, it could have been a Bible verse. Like, this is just a saying that she said. Like, it sounds like it really could be in the Bible. My mom always told us, everything is permissible, but not everything is profitable. And I like, that's like such a virtue, even from scripture, that we see that like the Lord gives us free will to do things, but we have to, with the Spirit within you, which is a huge key to this conversation, is that if you're in Christ listening to this, you have the Spirit to tell you, like, if you, let's talk about outfits. If you're putting on an outfit in the morning for church and, you know, maybe you feel good about it, but you feel a check in your spirit, that needs to be followed, right? Yeah. We can do most anything with our free will, but is it profitable?
Yeah.
I also just think the conversation about like the red lipstick, like we can be so consumed, or even the, you know, the overalls, like maybe some people would think, oh, that's causing me to, you know, be distracted because, you know, if she's not wearing the right thing. Like, I think sometimes we worry about distracting people. I think we worry about like leading people astray, quote unquote, right? Whether that's into impure thoughts or just distraction. I think about that a lot in church, but I do have to remember that it's like, if I genuinely believe and have this peace with Christ, that my red lipstick is really not going to draw everyone's attention away. It might bother one person, but you know, you can't always please everyone. If I really believe that, I have to be confident in that. And I have to show up in that confidence the Lord has given me. And that doesn't necessarily mean that you have to hide every single part of you, or hide your preferences, or hide your love for fashion or makeup, or, you know, hats. Like, I've worn hats to church and I've had people say, oh, do you believe in head covering? Like, Testament head covering. Yeah. I'm like, oh, well, like I personally don't, but like I will still wear a hat, you know, take it off appropriate moments. But like, there's just so much that we have to say, Lord, okay, I can do this, but ultimately, do you want me to do this? Sometimes the Lord may lay or cause you to lay down something or not wear something or not do something for the sake of others, but that cannot be our main motivation in living, right? Like, we're not here to please people. We're here to please God. Like, we're told that in scripture.
Yeah. I talk about this in my episode titled Body Image, Fitness, and Faith, but I come from a fitness background and I actually used to be a bodybuilding competitor, and the like outfit that you wear is a bikini when you do that. And so for my personal self, I've been convicted away from wearing bikinis mainly just because of my past. Like I wore them to flaunt. I wore them to be sexual. Like I wore them and my heart was not in the right place. And so now just as like a guardrail, because I know that I personally was susceptible to like leading people astray in that way, I personally don't wear bikinis anymore. And so I've had a lot of people see that testimony and be like, don't tell me like wearing bikinis is wrong. And it's like, well, friend, I'm just sharing my story. And if that sparked something in you, maybe that's conviction. Maybe it's frustration. Maybe it's questions and you need to take it to God, you know? And so I think there's also a huge difference between just sharing what the Lord has done in our lives and how he's worked in us, changed us, caused us to drop certain things or start doing other things versus saying like, hey, I did this, so you need to do this too, you know?
Right. And it's like, maybe the Lord is not calling you through listening to Addie's story to stop wearing bikinis, but maybe he's calling you to be more pure in your heart, pure in your thoughts, more modest in your, the way you speak to other people, in your text messages. Like, who knows? Like, but I think ultimately too, I was talking with my mom about this yesterday, how we look at social media so often, like we see someone living a certain way of life. And often our first reaction is to think, well, why are they telling me to live that way? When maybe they're not. You guys, maybe they're not telling you, maybe they're just sharing their life. And if you want to learn something from that, if you want to be inspired, then great. But ultimately, like, we get so, I mean, I say this from my own experience, I get so self-consumed thinking that it's all about me. It's like, it's not all about me. Yeah, it's not all about me. When someone posts their, like, there's an awesome account that I follow and she has like six kids and she does all the homesteady things and makes everything from scratch and like is just like Wonder Woman, right? And I've often come to her account thinking, oh, I can't, like, how does she expect me to do that? I'm like, no one is expecting me to do that.
Yeah.
The only standard that you need to follow and adhere to is Jesus Christ, not necessarily people that you follow online. Like, you need to let him inform every single thing you do, draw inspiration from people that you love and books that you read and all the things, but ultimately let him be your starting line. Because if we let everyone else's opinions be our starting line, it's just going to be such a crumbling foundation. And then we're going to feel so insecure and all the things, you know?
I'm so glad you just said that, because I actually had something like that happen once. So I had a friend unfollow me, and another friend pointed it out to me because I don't really look at that stuff. And I was like, oh man, like, I wonder if I did something wrong. So I was just like, hey, like, let's grab coffee. I want to see what's going on. So I just asked her, I was like, so I saw like you unfollowed me. And that was uncomfortable for me to ask to begin with.
Yeah.
I wanted to make sure she was okay, you know? And she had said, well, I just don't like what you've been posting recently. It makes me feel bad about myself. And I have felt like every post you've been making is directed at me.
Oh,
and I was like, wow. Oh my gosh, friend, like, I'm so sorry. Why do you feel that way?
Yeah.
And come to find out, she was wrestling with a certain sin. And it's one that was like a large part of my testimony that God had helped me kind of overcome. And so, but that's our human tendency, right? Is even if someone is just simply sharing their life, what God has done, we tend to insert ourselves into their story and think, well, surely I have to be exactly like this, or, you know, and we make it about us instead of just taking it to God and saying, Lord, why am I feeling this way? What are you telling me? What am I to take away from this? And, you know, if there are any convictions, Lord, if there's anything about me that you're trying to shape, you know, if you're the potter and I'm the clay, like, help me be moist clay and not dry clay that's cracking and crumbling and bitter and brittle, and help me to be formed by you. So I think it really starts with that prayer. If you're feeling convicted about pants, friends, it starts with that prayer.
Yeah. Or if you're just like, I don't know, just struggling to figure out what that modesty looks like for you. Because let's just be honest, like, if we're just talking about a strictly modest standpoint, like, that is one of the most modest things I could have ever put on. Like, you could see my neck. I think that's the only thing you could see, you guys. Like, but yeah, it's one of those things where, like, let the Lord inform you. Like, if you feel any feeling, really, like, if you see someone in social media or even just in real life, like, you feel something, whether that's comparison, confusion, anger, fear, any of those things, take it to the Lord first. Don't take it to the comment section. Don't take it, I mean, even necessarily, don't even take it to someone else and vent first. Like, in that moment, capture that. We're called to take every thought captive. Capture that in the moment. Say, Lord, what is this? What do you want me to do with it? Right? Yeah. Replace whatever you're feeling with a truth or a prayer or a moment to send that up to the Lord. Because so often, I think a lot of the people that commented on that reel were not Christians and not following me. So they didn't really know me, right? But they also just didn't know the Lord. And they were just letting their fingers on their keyboard go faster than, you know, listening or slowing down. Like, even if they don't have Jesus, they just didn't even wait a moment to consider the person. But as Christians, we are called to do better, right? And just to slow down. I think we're so fast and we're so quick to jump on people and on things that we just need to slow down, and then we'll have some more clarity and compassion, I think.
Grace, definitely. Grace is needed because I think now that I'm pretty sure the average watch time of a video now is 3 seconds.
It's crazy.
And so you have 3 seconds to either make somebody, you know, really happy or really upset with you. And so I don't think genuinely people are thinking about the person behind the video. We're so used to just absorbing content that it's just an instant, like, swipe up because this annoyed me, or I'm going to comment because now I'm angry, or I'm going to heart it because you agreed with everything I feel. And
I
think challenging our perspective sometimes, being out of our echo chamber, you know, that became a really popular word in the last few years, especially within the Christian space. It's like, are you only following people who completely agree with you, or are you challenging your perspective, taking it to God and seeing where he's trying to grow you and build you? So I really love that you shared that. And I wanted to share, I had mentioned gotquestions.org. I really liked what they said in response to Deuteronomy 22:5. They had just said that this is a command for Israel to maintain gender distinctions in their clothing. So if you take away anything from this episode, friends, I hope it's that you know your God-given identity as either male or female. And it says that, you know, both genders in those days wore robes. Like, if anyone has seen The Chosen, you probably thought it was kind of funny to see Jesus in a dress, right? But that was the norm then. So the general principle is that men and women ought to dress in a way appropriate for their culture, maintaining gender distinctions. And I love that they gave this example, but they talked about how, like, Scotsmen wear kilts, and that is not seen as feminine in their culture. That is seen as very masculine to be a kiltsman. Right. You know, I know a lot of Irishmen who, or I guess they would be Irish, Scottish, are very proud of wearing their kilt. And so know that if you're being confronted the way that Tara was, or maybe even the way I have been, to wear a dress to church, don't be worried to challenge those people and just say like, well, why do you think so? And I think that conversations in person, just getting to know the heart of a person and getting out of, you know, Instagram and out from behind a keyboard is how we truly are going to connect and love each other well through these conversations. And something I always say is that disagreement does not equal disrespect. So remember that if you disagree with a fellow sister or brother in Christ, that does not mean that we are to disrespect one another or that disagreement equals disrespect.
That's good. I also just think like coming to that conversation, like if someone asks you, whether that's over a screen or in person, to just come with the expectation of like not having your fists up ready to fight at first. Because sometimes, yes, that person is just trying to be combative, but like you just never know. And you also never know if that person coming combative may be softened by your grace and by your gentle, like of asking of questions. So just the way that you come to the conversation could really change everything. I think sometimes when I get hate like that, I'm super combative, but it's like, no, why don't we start soft? I mean, remain soft, but start soft, kind of believing that maybe the Lord will use my gentleness and my meekness to soften their heart, right?
That's so good. Something that my first pastor from the church where I was saved at always said is when someone asks a question, there's typically a question behind their question. So if you're asking, can I wear pants? What's your actual question? And I know for me, when I asked myself that, it was, am I doing wrong by the Lord?
Right.
And so, you know, that reflected that I care about his wrath and his word and his seriousness about following him. But I also know that there's truth, there's grace, there's love behind that too. And so, you know, if you've been kind of feared into not wearing pants, really pray and just know that like fear doesn't come from the Lord and he sees your heart. He knows the question behind your question and that honors him and that will honor you in return in your faith.
That's so good. It's literally so good. I've loved this conversation. I think it's so freeing. It really is.
And that's what Christ wants for us is real freedom. You know, scripture says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And so if you have the Spirit of God within you and he's convicting you away from wearing pants, because that's also an actual thing that might be happening. Perhaps there's something in your life. Maybe you have struggled with some gender identity things. Maybe pants genuinely aren't for you. And God wants you to just, even for a season, embrace your God-given femininity. Like that's also a very real possibility as well. So know that whatever you're wrestling with when it comes to this subject, it's between you and God to really sort out. And so I hope that this conversation between Tara and myself has brought you peace, but also has released any fear from you and brought you to greater freedom. So thanks for being here, Tara. I would love if you could share where people could find you. I know you have YouTube and then also Instagram and then your book if you wanted to share it again.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Addie, you are so spot on, so bold, so kind, and your heart for Jesus is just so evident. And I just love being here with you and your people on the show. It's been an honor. But yeah, if you guys would want to connect, I have my own podcast every Tuesday. It's called Truth Talks with Tara, and you can find that anywhere you get podcasts. I'm over on Instagram every day at Miss Tara Sun, or just like search Tara Sun, and I'll be there. And you can grab my book, Surrender Your Story, on Amazon, Target, Barnes & Noble, all the places. Those are just kind of like the main ways to stay connected.
Yeah. And also, I just want to throw this out there really quick. Another cool thing about your book that I was like, it was just so cool to see two of my favorite people on one page, but Sadie Robertson wrote the foreword to your book, which is so cool. So
It was so kind of her to give her words and it was just so encouraging.
Yes, guys. So definitely check that out. Thanks again for being here, Tara. You guys are listening to Christ in Me with Addie, and I'll see you next time.